You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
A question just before we begin. Who is your favourite influencer? Oh, that's just... that's always the answer. Listen, I've looked for his social media account and he hasn't got one. What are some of your best influencers? You young people, you got any influencers? No?
Beckham.
That's one of your influences. A good influence. What other influencers? Do you know any? Do none of you do social media? I cannot believe it. Oh, God, get a life. Honestly, you could like waste just hours and hours on social media. Anyway, do you know, according to a recent report, 57% of Gen Z, that's people who were born between 1997 and 2012, say they'd be an influencer if the opportunity presented to them. That's like a career path now for people. And it is a big thing for those of you who haven't delved into the world of social media. Influencers are significant in our day. They influence. But we're all influenced, aren't we? Nathan by Jesus. Some of us as well, others of us. But there's all sorts of things that influence us and people that influence us, isn't there? I mean, it's quite a sobering thought sometimes to ask ourselves, who actually is influencing me? I mean, and actually step back and think about it. For some, it can be parents or from our upbringing. For some of it can be particular people that we go to on the internet or books. Heroes, who influences us? Probably more than we realize, advertisers and marketers influence us. Adverts on the TV, I never think they influence me until me and the lads were watching the rugby and realizing we were all drinking Guinness. I mean, I was drinking Guinness Zero, I have to say. But that's probably because that is what is now pushed in rugby, Guinness Zero. I was a bit annoyed at myself. But we are influenced, aren't we? And today we're looking at the Bible at a hero of mine called Esther. And she's got her own book in the Bible. And it tells her story. And it's a great story. And it is a story about influence. And her influence at a key moment where she saves her people as a result of it. Many of you might know the verse from chapter 4, verse 14. And who knows that by that you have come... And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? Have you heard that phrase? For such a time as this? It's the famous verse from Esther. For such a time as this. And I think that phrase, for many of us this year, is important. In this year of being intentional, this is a phrase for many. When I look over you, it's as if the phrase hovers over us. I mean, not literally, and like it's going to fall on you or anything, but it's like the phrase is hovering over us. That was the picture I had as I was praying for you all, as I was preparing for this morning. For such a time as this is the phrase hovering over us. Years ago, I went on a retreat and found really helpfully that my life motto as they put it, was to realize potential. That was my phrase. And whatever job I've done since, I've done that. Doesn't matter what job I've done. What I've done is realize potential. And as I look at Jubilee, I want to realize all the potential that I see. I want the potential to be realized, not just to remain potential, but to become potential that is realized. Not just sort of noticing it, but realizing that potential. And I think that's the journey that we're on, because it's not just my thing. I think the Lord looks at us all and sees the potential and wants to see that realized. Now, there's all sorts of things in this world that will stop that from happening. There's a great thief who likes to rob believers of that. But we want to be intentional and to know that God is for us and he wants to realize the potential that he has put in us. In one of our review meetings this week, Toby made a wonderful phrase. He said, during that service on Sunday, I felt like people were seen. It just thrilled my heart. I don't remember anything else from the meeting, really, other than that. No, I did make some notes. I think it's time for some of you to be seen. And for God, he sees the potential in you and wants to realize it. And that's what we want to do in this year of being intentional. So Esther, it's a remarkable story. It is just a great read. It's a strange book because God isn't in it at all. God's never mentioned in the book of Esther. Sometimes in our lives, we can wonder where God is. But you know, in the book of Esther, God's not mentioned at all. But you can see his hand at work. It's a remarkable story of a woman who rose from obscurity to save her people. Her story reveals how God can use the most unlikely individuals to fulfill his divine purposes. That's what the story is about. Esther was a Jewish orphan living in exile in Persia, raised by her cousin Mordecai. She was far from the centers of power and influence. Her heritage and status made her an unlikely candidate for greatness. Yet God's plan for Esther was about to unfold in a way that actually would change history. When Queen Vashti fell out of favor with King Xerxes, a search for replacement began, and Esther, despite her humble beginnings, was chosen for her beauty and her grace to become queen. But what we see in the story is that her true worth lay not in her external beauty, but in her inner courage and faith. That's what the story is about. I mean, it talks about a year of beauty treatments. And I'm thinking, a year of beauty treatments? What is that? I've got four boys and we, you know, 4 seconds maybe? I don't know. Maybe 4 minutes. A year? But what her true worth wasn't about her external beauty. It was about her courage and her faith. And often we can be judged, and we can judge, can't we, by outward appearance. These days, many find a partner just with a series of swipes. It's all based on looks, isn't it? For many, more time and money goes into our external beauty than our internal beauty, actually. And I'm not saying we shouldn't take care of ourselves and, you know, do what we can with what God's given us. But we do want to be intentional about what's on the inside, don't we? Give that more of a priority, give that more of a sort of time in our lives. See, Esther's people, the Jews, had faced annihilation due to a wicked plot by Haman, a high-ranking official in the Persian court. And Mordecai had urged Esther to use her position to plead for their lives. And here is where Esther's unlikely heroism is revealed. She faced a critical decision. Risk her life by approaching the king unsummoned, or remain silent and safe, but allow her people to perish. It was a critical moment in the story, if you read it. Now, it might seem a bit drastic to our modern ears, but in Esther's culture, in her time, if you approach the king without him summoning you, you were put to death. I mean, that's what happened. So you didn't just casually turn up, even if you're the queen. It was a risk she took. But in a different way, perhaps we can risk things sometimes, can't we, when we're approaching others, especially to stand up for others or to share the gospel with others, to save others. We might be nervous or might feel there's a loss of faith or be ridiculed or even the fear of being ostracized or something like that. We can have a fear, can't we, sometimes? But Esther was full of courage and faith. And her response to Mordecai urging her is a testament to her faith and bravery. And she says in chapter 4, verse 16, "If I perish, I perish." That was her attitude. I'm going to save my people. And if I perish, I perish. I've done what I can. I hear in that a sort of a dying to herself for the sake of others. Don't you? If I perish, I perish. But I'm going to do something to save my people. She's calls for a fast among the Jews and then approaches the king, risking everything. But her boldness, her wisdom in revealing Haman's plot, if you read it, led to the deliverance of the Jews and the downfall of the enemies. It's an amazing story. It'd be great to read. If you go on the Bible Project, there's a great cartoon of it. It's only like 10 minutes long. It'll give you a great little summary of the story. So good. It's really worth reading. It only take you 20 minutes to read the whole book. So what are some of the lessons that we can bring from Esther's heroism? First one is this, that God uses... Oh, let's catch up with this. I haven't got all my marks on it. There we are. Look. God uses the unlikely. Esther's story reminds us that God often chooses the most unexpected people to carry out his plans. Let that just sink in for a moment. He chooses the most unexpected people to fulfill his plans. It's what gives me so much encouragement when I look at you. See, God can use you. He can use me. Crumbs, he can use me. Whatever your background, limitations, status, doesn't hinder God's purposes in your life. You might write yourself off saying that God can never use you. But if God could use a poor orphan girl like Esther, he can use you. Whatever your background, whatever your journey, he can use you. Second thing is that we need courage in the face of fear. And we need to proofread our slides. See, Esther's bravery was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. It wasn't the absence of fish. He was scared. If I perish, I perish. But there was a triumph over that fear. And she teaches us that true courage is stepping out in faith, even when we're afraid. Trusting in God's providence gives us the strength to face daunting challenges. I really think, Jubilee, that God is calling us to take the dis off discourage so that we find courage. We want to discourage and make it courage. You following that? I think it's a time to disappointment. And for us to know that we're appointed for such a time as this. I really like those two lines. Fear so often robs us and robs others who should have been, result in the blessing from us. I did a load of coaching training a few years ago, and the particular model I love is one that you look at the situation, where you look at vision, you look at the strategy, the steps to get there, but then you do a final step of looking at what the obstacles are. Sometimes they're external, sometimes they're internal obstacles. We have self-limiting thoughts. We self-sabotage ourselves. That's why Jesus talks about renewing of the mind. I think it was the Apostle Paul, actually, but Jesus probably said it. We can have inner voices that prevent us from doing things. It's an interesting exercise, actually, to write down what would you do if you weren't fearful? It's quite interesting. What stops me because of fear? God says, do not fear, hundreds of times throughout the Bible. But what does he mean? Are you wrong if you feel fearful if you can't pay next month's rent or you have a dire health diagnosis or your job's on the line? There are times where it's appropriate to feel fear. When I see a great big hairy dog, I feel a fear. It might be a little bit disproportionate to the dog sometimes. But if I saw a lion, I'd be dead right to be fearful. Fear is actually, we're wired to fear. Fear is an appropriate response. It's not that we like don't fear. Fear protects us sometimes. Fear can do good things for us. But it can also rob us. God wired our brains to experience fear. It's like a primary emotion, and there's a reason and a purpose for it. And so when God says, do not fear, he's not saying, shut down all that part of your lives. The real issue is that God wants us to wrestle with is where we go with that fear. Where do you go with your fears? How do you deal with your fears is the question. Simply put, God wants us to come to him with our fears. It's not that he doesn't want us to have fears, it's he wants us to come to him with our fears. Unfortunately, no one is going to ever escape from fear in this sinful and broken world. It's real, and it can be paralyzing, and it can be a powerful thing in our soul's fear. But what I want to say is that God is more powerful. He has the power and desire to be with us in our fear. That's how it works. That's why we could have courage. And remembering this, I think, helps us when we to make a step of faithfulness in our lives. Because knowing God is with us in our fears is a big deal. It's part of our journey through them, where we can become conquerors and we diss the discouragement and are able to find courage. 2 Timothy 1, 7 says, For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. We have a God who is with us, who wants to be with us in our fear. Thirdly, the power of influence. Esther's influence as a queen was a critical tool in God's plan. And each of us, I mean, you may not have had, like, you know, being chosen as the most beautiful person in the land and then given a year of beauty treatments to make you even more beautiful. Or some of you might think that, but, you know, talk to me later because I'll bring you down gently. But each of us do have a sphere of influence. Might be our family, workplaces, our community, the street we live in. An influencer has the capacity to affect something. And we all have that. Sometimes it's negative. We may not feel very influential, but you know, we can influence people more than we know. Just helping a neighbor with a shopping bag is an influence. Saying an encouraging word, a little act of kindness, asking for forgiveness, apologizing, not gossiping, building up rather than tearing down, sending an encouraging note, being curious and interested in people who are different from us. Actually, all of those things are being an influencer. Small little ways. And like Esther, we're called to use whatever position we have, whatever our context, to bring about God's kingdom and encourage justice and mercy. Isn't that what we're called to do? Not in an overbearing, manipulative, full of ourselves way. Just read the story and you see what happened to the people in the story who did that. But in a gracious, humble, winsome way, we can be influences for the kingdom of God. We can influence with a confident humility, more than we know. I would say that particularly to young people, that you are influencers. You can be influencers in school, in the classroom, not in a weird way, but in a good way. In the workplace, you can be influencers. Running your own businesses, you can be an influencer. But being in a team, you can be a big influencer. On social media, for those two of us who are on social media, we can actually bring an influence. I know the secret social media people because I stalk you. I don't, that sounded really weird. I've got to cut that bit out. But we can be an influence, can't we? In different ways, little ways, not like in weird ways or like talking about Jesus all the time or anything like that, but just speaking good, being truthful, commenting, building up, not tearing down, bringing together, not polarizing. Particularly in this season with the election coming, we can be a positive voice. We can be influencers in a powerful way. Finally, just final thing is, you notice in the story the importance of community and prayer. When she makes that decision, first thing she does is she doesn't act alone. She sought the support and prayers of the community and calls them to prayer and fasting before she went to see the king. A collective act of prayer, fasting, underscores seeking God's guidance. It's partly why next Sunday is so important, as we gather churches together to pray together for our mission in the autumn. Coming together to pray is powerful. When we've got a big decision to make, or you've got to step out courageously, it's great to get people alongside you praying for you. I want to tell you, finish with this, just a story of an unlikely hero in our midst, who actually is serving in the kids' work, and said she didn't mind what I said because she wasn't in the room. I'm actually talking about Anna McCallion. Anna, for those of you who know, is an artist. She makes wonderful pottery. Is she? I know. She can't hear. Makes wonderful pottery, gifts. Quirk and Whimsy is her business. I get 10%, so if you would like to buy anything. No. It's beautiful. But she's an artist. And you know what's happened to her? It's a wonderful little story. She was asked by the town council to be the artist in residence for a particular project in the autumn that the town wanted to do. And so she met with them as an artist to talk to them about the project, and found out that they wanted to do it at Halloween. Wanted to do a big thing at Halloween, and would she be the artist in residence in Halloween? She thought about it, and she thought, well, let's have a conversation. I'm really up for doing it, she said, as long as it's not about Halloween. Could it be a festival of light instead? And she talked with them, and they agreed. So there's a festival of lanterns. Farnham Lantern Festival is happening this autumn. So on Halloween evening, people are going to bring lanterns onto Gostrey Meadows to celebrate, this is what it says on the website, the day that which marks the end of the harvest season and the beginning of winter, a time of taking stock of the past and looking forward to the future. No mention of Halloween on it at all. So she has gone to different community groups and taught them how to make lanterns. Cub groups, scout groups, different faith groups, different community groups. Taught people how to get their group together to make lanterns, so that there can be a festival of light in Farnham instead of Halloween. Now, is she an Esther? Boy, as I read this, I thought, that she's Esther. She's using her position as an artist. She's really good at it. Her position of influence, but not just acquiescing to what was being asked, but being full of faith and courage and saying, I'll do this. And they've accepted it and paid her. And she is now influencing a town. Now, whatever you sort of think about Halloween, I know as a pastor, you know, I get the letters from the police saying, you know, please do something that's other than Halloween in our community because it's so disruptive for the elderly and it's such a negative thing. And I'm thinking, you know, what can we do? We do our light nights. But you know what? I want to embrace what Hannah's doing because she is an Esther. God isn't mentioned in it at all, but she's doing an Esther task. Amen? Now, she'll be really embarrassed if you all say to her as she's going out, well done, Esther. But to be honest, I really want you to. No. I'm so proud of her. Just so thrilled that she's done it and she's had faith and courage. She's been an Esther in Farnham. And I want her and Esther to encourage us all to do what we can do in little ways or big ways to see the kingdom advance. Amen? So Esther's journey from an orphaned girl to a queen saved her people and is a powerful testament to God's sovereignty and his extraordinary potential he puts in us. As we reflect on God's story, I think we want to be inspired to embrace our God-given roles, our situations, wherever we are, with courage and faith. You are the only person in the position you're in your family or in your workplace. Unless you've got a doppelganger or something, and you're somebody that's actually or cloned or something like that. But you are the only person. And we can go from here with that rallying call for such a time as this. Can't we? And let God work in us, through us, no matter how unlikely hero we may feel we are. Amen? Lord Jesus, I pray that this story of Esther would inspire us, Lord. It would be a story that we read and that we find you in, even though you're not mentioned. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us apply it to our lives. How can we be full of courage and faith? How can we not limit ourselves, sabotage ourselves? How can we have courage? How can we have that attitude of, if I perish, I perish? How can we, Lord Jesus, be Esthers in our community? Pray as we come to break bread now that you would speak to us all, Lord. Put people or situations or context in our minds where we could be courageous and full of faith. Just reminded of how before you went to the cross, you in Gethsemane went to your father and said, is there any way I could get out of this? But if it's your will, I'll do it. It was fear in that garden, beads of sweat on your brow, Lord Jesus. You knew fear, but you knew God was with you, and you were obedient, and you went to the cross for us. And Lord, we thank you as we celebrate that each Sunday, that we would have some of that spirit within us, that courage, that willingness to be obedient, that desire to see people saved, the kingdom advance. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you took the bread at that Last Supper and you gave it to your disciples as a symbol and you broke it and you said, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after the meal, you took the wine and you said, whenever you drink this, remember the blood that I gave for you. Started our service just thinking about Graham and his passing, how he's with Jesus now. And as we eat the bread and drink the wine, it's a symbol of our hope, isn't it? Esther says, if I perish, I perish. Probably not many of us are going to be in situations where we literally will perish. Some Christians around the world are in that place, but in our country that it probably isn't. But a bit of embarrassment, a little bit of risk, reputational risk, all those things. Lord, we pray that you would make us courageous, because you were courageous, and that we would give of ourselves to others because you gave yourself to us. And as we eat this bread and we take this cup, we celebrate your death and resurrection, and the death and resurrection that we come to know as a result. So I pray as we worship now, as we come to break bread, I ask Holy Spirit, you would speak to us. Oh, where there's self-limiting thought, self-sabotaging thought, fear that stops us, may we bring that to you and say, Lord, I want to do this with you. If we feel an unlikely hero, Lord, let's come to the Lord with that. How can I be used? He might speak to you. Let's use Esther as we come to break bread today. Nathan's going to come and lead us in a time of worship, and I just encourage you to come and take the bread and the wine as we you feel prompted to. But let's do it prayerfully. Let's stand, shall we? Who knows, for such a time as this, God's anointing is coming upon you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this bread and wine. We thank you for this story. And we pray that you would speak to us now as we take this bread and wine. In Jesus' name, amen.